Today's business report starts with the business of the arts. New museums and theaters are sometimes promoted a little like new sports stadiums. Supporters raise money for art institutions by predicting that they will boost local economies, encourage urban renewal, or increase tourism. Now, a study by the Rand Corporation is questioning that argument and starting a debate in the art world. NPR's Elizabeth Blair reports.
The arts are good for cities, right? New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg tallies the economic impact of Christo's Gates at more than $250 million. The Philadelphia Museum of Art is hoping its major Salvador Dalí show will attract hundreds of thousands of visitors from around the country and beyond. On a smaller scale, music clubs and theaters around the country are proud of pioneering development in local neighborhoods. At the corner of 14th and P Streets in Northwest D.C., the Studio Theater is in the midst of a $13 million expansion. It's a busy corner with restaurants, art galleries, a Whole Foods grocery store. New condos are being built.
When we came here 26 years ago, this was boarded up, what you see out here, and it was, you know, condoms and hypodermic needles.
Joy Zinneman, Studio Theater's founding artistic director, figures they bring about 500 to 600 people to this neighborhood a night. She says her theater doesn't exist to help the local economy, but it does.
The artist is, of course, doing their work because they want to illuminate life first and foremost. However, from the standpoint of the city, of course the arts engender economic development. Look, it's right here.
But claims like these are a risk. According to the Rand Corporation's new study, Gifts of the Muse, reframing the debate on the benefits of the arts. The 124-page report says that to build audiences, kids need greater exposure to art more often. And nobody's taking issue with that. The bombshell is the report's contention that arts groups have gone too far touting their benefits to society, like how they're good for the economy and education. It says some of those studies are based on shaky methodology. Instead, the report recommends that arts groups get back to their roots and emphasize their intrinsic value to individuals. It says they could get trapped into selling themselves on economic benefits alone.
I think what it says is the supporters of the arts ought to be careful about what claims they make.
Kevin McCarthy, co-author of the Rand study, spoke at a recent press conference.
Because lots of people, both in the economic community and outside, have criticized certain elements of the economic argument and say those effects are no bigger than what you would get, for example, from building a freeway or a train station or an athletic stadium.
Arts advocates that have worked hard to make these arguments are taken aback.
Our economic impact study, the largest one ever done, I don't think is even mentioned.
Bob Lynch heads the advocacy group Americans for the Arts. A few years ago, their study, called Art and Economic Prosperity, found that nationwide the arts generate roughly $134 billion in economic activity and create some 5 million jobs. Hundreds of arts groups around the country use the study to help with fundraising. And yet, it's not mentioned in Gifts of the Muse. Lynch says he's confused by Rand's recommendation that arts groups downplay their economic value.
What's very important to realize is what do the decision makers really need to hear? And again, what we hear from governors, from mayors, from the United States Congress is that decision makers need, number one, to hear about economics, number two, to hear about jobs. If an arts advocate anywhere only went to arguments about joy and beauty, things that we all believe, they would lose money because legislators and practical decision makers have a different way of looking at things.
For the record, the authors of Gifts of the Muse say their goal was not to single out any particular economic impact study. Arthur Brooks, a Syracuse University professor who co-authored the Rand Report, says they're not against the studies themselves, but rather how they're used. He says arts groups need to shift their focus.
The purpose of this report is to enrich not just our skepticism about these arguments, but the range of kinds of arguments that we can make such that people, if they want more of the arts, will be able to get them on a basis of truth. I mean, what are they really giving to us?
Pushing their economic value might be a bad habit, according to some who are taking the Rand study at face value.
It's a bit of a family secret, because we all know that's not why we do the arts, but we know the argument works.
Andrew Taylor teaches arts administration at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He also writes the Artful Manager column for artsjournal.com, which is hosting an online debate on the RAND study.
Any kind of public facility that requires public funds and has sort of these soft benefits is going to be turning to the economic impact argument. And in fact, the reason the arts, I think, should be paying really close attention to this is because the sports teams and the sports buildings, they're using it much louder than the arts are.
And yet, as numerous other studies have noted, the case for the economic impact of sports stadiums is also weak. But for now, Taylor hopes the RAND study will at least move the discussion back to the artist's original intent. He refers to a quote that's often attributed to Albert Einstein.
Not everything that counts can be counted, and not everything that can be counted counts. I work with a lot of arts managers, people that run arts facilities. And more their job now is trying to create economic activity, and it's forced them to lose track of actually focusing on the power of the art form they're putting together, and they lose focus on the thing that caused all these benefits in the first place.
Another question is whether the RAND study will be listened to by the people who count. At least one legislator says arts groups should not stop counting their economic benefits to society. When the study was presented to the Congressional Arts Caucus, Representative Louise Slaughter told the group that delight and inspiration are not enough to convince her colleagues of the need for federal funding. What does resonate, she said, is that the nonprofit arts community is a $134 billion industry, providing millions of jobs and returning about $11 billion in taxes to the U.S. Treasury every year. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News, Washington.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montagne.